What is up? Welcome to a live NBA outlet. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, Jack Manuel and Brendan Smart. What's up, fellas? How we doing?
Billy McFarland of Fire Festival apparently runs the New York Knicks, ladies and gentlemen.
But guys, obviously, we're here to talk about the Porzingis trade. Big news today. Mavs picked up Kristaps Porzingis, Tim Hardaway Jr., Courtney Lee, Trey Burke. The Knicks received Dennis Smith Jr., DeAndre Jordan, Wesley Matthews, a 2021 unprotected first-round pick, a 2023 protected first-round pick, 1 through 10. Guys, how are we feeling about this trade?
Yeah, I mean, if you're the Mavericks, you're, Mark Cuban is laughing. Scott Perry and Scott must know something, surely. You don't trade away a possible future Hall of Famer, an absolute stud, you know, a franchise piece for, you know, essentially cap relief and some future first rounders and a guy you forced to eat octopus.
Brendan, what are your thoughts on it?
I'm a little undecided, but I look at it from both ways. Like, the Knicks came off of $75 million in cap space. They opened that up. But you also added another tool or another weapon for Luka down in Dallas. And, you know, they've got a bright future down there. But I like it in terms of, like, the Knicks got all that cap space. And you don't know when Porzingis is going to come back. Is he going to come back this year? Because the Dallas is still in the playoff hunt. So are they going to bring him back is this season? Or is it going to be one of those things they hold off until next season to unveil?
Yeah, I think overall it was just kind of a surprise. You know, we got the news that, you know, Porzingis wasn't very happy with the Knicks. At least that's what they probably leaked to the media. You know, the word is these trade talks have been going on for a week or two now. And then all of a sudden we get the news an hour later after that Knicks talk. I think from the Mavs side, you know, they take a risk on KP, obviously, with the injury. But I don't think it's a huge risk. Torn ACLs aren't as crazy as they used to be. Now you're pretty much set for the future. You know, you have Porzingis and Luka. I think if all things go right, that's 10 years of relevancy. You know, you take on Tim Hardaway Jr., who I think they had rumored to have interest in the past. You know, Courtney Lee is a solid role player. Trey Burke, another guy who's not bad to have off the bench. The Knicks side, you know, it kind of made sense in a way, but it also didn't make sense because Porzingis, I think, was a guy that would draw free agents to New York. Obviously, Dennis Smith Jr. is a guy they've had interest in. You bring him in. DeAndre Jordan, Wesley Matthews probably will be bought out. They do get two more first-round picks, so I think that's a positive. But overall, do you think they got good value for Porzingis or what?
No, I mean, if we're looking at Kristaps Porzingis, I think we have very short memories. Like, in that early part of the 2017-18 season, he was, like, in the MVP conversation. He was just absolutely balling, you know. And before he got that injury, he was averaging nearly 23 points a game. He was just putting up numbers. You know, he's a defensive just stalwart. Yes, he can't pass the ball, and he's not a great rebounder, but he is, you know, a 1 or a 1A in terms of a franchise player. And if you had Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis growing together, like you said, Nick, for the next 10 years, you know, as the Golden State Warriors, you know, eventually begin to fall as they age, that's a ready-made championship team in the next 5 years or so. You know, you add pieces around that, Dallas is going to be a franchise team that players are going to want to go play for. They're going to want to play with Luka. They're going to want to play with Kristaps if he's healthy. Obviously, that's a big asterisk, but I love it for Dallas. They made that move for Luka in the first place, and you know, Donnie Nelson continues to make the moves that just to make his team better, and it's all coming up daisies. But, you know, obviously, you know, it's going to be a future thing. What's going to happen, you know, in free agency next year for the Knicks? That's what it all comes down to for them.
Brendan, what are your thoughts on the value for Porzingis in this trade?
I think the value of Porzingis in this trade were in terms of, like, picks and future and building for the future. I didn't like it because you don't have protected picks. Yeah, I don't think you'd have the guys in charge to pick for the future in New York right now. And, you know, you don't have assets there currently that you could build around. So while they opened up $75 million, and of course you could get a KD or a Kyrie Irving or both there, that's the only way they win this. If they get one or two of those guys, in my opinion.
What's going to lure them there though, right now? Like you mentioned, Brendan, they don't have anything there. Like, Kristaps is a piece where it's like, okay, well, I can go play with Kristaps. Now they have, what, Kevin Knox and Alonzo Trier? Why is Kevin Durant?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, they put all of this in the hands of guys that don't know what to do with it. Like, the cap space, the picks, and now they don't have assets there to lure guys, you know, big free agents there. I mean, I don't think it's a great trade for the Knicks. I don't think they got the right return
for Porzingis. The one positive, obviously, is the cap space, and you know maybe they do sign the big names. But a lot of people brought this up on Twitter. I think Knicks Film School brought it up. If the Knicks knew they were going to get KD, why would KP want to leave? Wouldn't he want to stay and play with KD, and they could always move another asset to possibly move Courtney Lee or Tim Hardaway Jr., maybe not this year's first, but next year's first. Then they have Zion, and now all of a sudden they're stacked. I feel like this was kind of a rushed move where they didn't necessarily have to make it. We still have time before the deadline. I don't think this was the best offer they could get. The only other – this is like almost a conspiracy theory. They are maybe trying to make a really big move for AD come summertime, you know, around the draft time, because now they have two more draft picks they could throw out there as well, and maybe they're trying to draw AD in, and maybe they think they can get Kyrie as well, or KD and AD, and get some type of team up that way.
It'd be so Knicks if they end up with, like, Cam Reddish, DeMarcus Cousins, and Tobias Harris, wouldn't it?
I wouldn't be surprised.
That sounds like something that would happen.
So, but overall, so you guys don't feel pretty confident the Knicks are going to land anybody this summer, at least the big names in terms of like KD or Kyrie?
I think it's more likely that they land maybe a Kemba, which I think is still good. But if it's Kyrie or Kemba, what's the point of trading for Dennis Smith Jr.? True. I think that it almost makes that move null and void. I mean, I get that they wanted him in the first place. You know, obviously Phil Jackson selected Ntilikina, and others around him were higher on Dennis Smith. But, you know, they've just got all these pieces. It's just, you know, the management of New York is, well, I mean, obviously the other team in New York isn't going too badly, not to toot our own horn. But I think that the, you know, just down the road, down the borough, I think that the Brooklyn Nets would have much more easier time in terms of luring free agents because of what they're building there. Whereas the Knicks have James Dolan running things, who is obviously a cluster. He's Billy McFarland in NBA owner form, let's put it that way. I just don't see what New York is trying to do, and I'm a little bit salty because I'm a Nets fan, but I'm sort of eating it up at the same time.
Yeah, I think what you brought up is a great point, Jack. The way they have treated players hasn't necessarily been ideal. You know, obviously they changed management. Scott Perry's in there now, but we know they didn't treat Carmelo great. That kind of turned off Chris Paul. Now they didn't treat Enes Kanter great. Obviously, he wants to be traded. He's not getting any playing time. They're just pretty much making him sit the bench. The whole Porzingis thing where he hasn't really been happy since when Phil Jackson was there and offered to trade him around draft time. So I think their relationship with players just isn't necessarily great. And what's making a superstar be like, oh, yeah, I want to go to New York. Like, the Knicks know how to treat their players. They're so great. Yeah, MSG is amazing, but everything else is pretty bad.
Yeah, apparently Enes Kanter knows something that we don't.
Yeah. Big star signing, according to him. Yeah, he knows a lot, I bet. But obviously KP didn't know that. So moving on to the Mavs side a little bit more. Like we said, they're going to have Luka. They're going to have KP. You know, even Tim Hardaway Jr. is not a terrible player to have around, especially surrounded by more guys in Dallas. What are your thoughts on them and moving forward?
I really like what they have in terms of, obviously it comes down to, they've got to have confidence in a guy like Kristaps Porzingis. You know, I think their training staff, you know, is quite good. And obviously, I think, like you mentioned, Nick, there was, you know, a real fragmentation of the relationship between, you know, the front office, the coaching staff with Kristaps. You know, even Fizdale early in the season sort of saying, you know, he's not ready, he's not even running yet. And then like the next day, on Kristaps's IG, he posted a video of him running, you know, or jogging or whatever it was. So obviously there were signs. So I think you've got to build that foundation. You know, the Luka Doncic relationship that they built with him, he's already a franchise player there. And I think if they can build this tandem with those two, they're going to be one of the most must-watch teams for the next few years. And I mean, I'm already wanting to, you know, buy me some Dallas gear already. It's a really exciting thing that they're building there if it does work out.
What are your thoughts on it, Brandon?
I think you're looking at two unselfish players that are going to share this role really well. And like Jack said about the front office, Porzingis is coming into a place that cares about its players before, you know, and it cares about winning as much as it does its players. So health comes first, of course. And once health comes, then winning comes. And you got two great young players that are basically almost the same age and, you know, great, good contracts and all of that. Like, they're going to be fine. And, you know, like Jack said, 4 or 5 years from now, they're going to be building a serious title team with those two.
I even think sooner than 4 or 5 years. I think it's a little bit closer. They have contracts that are going to be coming off the books. Obviously, the Tim Hardaway one isn't necessarily amazing, but like I said, he's still a solid player, and they'll still have cap space this year. What are your thoughts on the KP, you know, mentioning he's going to sign the qualifying offer? Obviously, that's not 100% confirmed. He could change his mind by the offseason, but what were your thoughts on that initial report?
I mean, it's ludicrous, isn't it? I mean, I'm not sure who it's coming from. You know, I think it's like 4.5 to 7.5 or something around that range if he does accept the qualifying offer, leaving, you know, $150 million on the table, essentially. And a guy coming back as well from an ACL injury like we've talked about. What sort of risk are you willing to take there? It's the due diligence that you're putting in terms of, you know, the risk cost, the risk benefit analysis. It's just like, why would you do it in any sense of the imagination? You know, I mean, it's one thing to have balls, but it's one thing to just be stupid. And I think if he were to do that and, you know, he had an offer from Dallas on the table, you know, be it even like, you know, a 3-year 60 or 3-year 75, you want to get that guaranteed money. And I think any player would. But obviously that knee injury and the confidence he has in himself, maybe he knows some things that we don't.
Well, we saw Boogie take that risk, but I mean, I don't think it's that big of a risk compared to Boogie. I mean, Porzingis is young. He also has $150 million sitting out there if he doesn't sign the qualifying offer. Am I correct?
Yeah, that, if he like were that. To get maxed out, it would be around $150 million.
That is not a risk any of us were willing to take. Like That would be the ultimate, you know, sacrifice and risk on yourself. That would be supreme confidence. I don't think that's a thing. Like that's probably PR. That's got to be something with PR to get him there. And, you know, I don't know. It just seemed like a lot of ludicrous. Like Jack said, there's no way he signs that qualifying offer.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I can think of is he just wants to put himself in a position of power, or maybe it was a bluff he was just sending to the Knicks and he wants to make sure, you know, things go right and he got his move and he doesn't want Dallas to think like, oh yeah, I'm locking in long term. But there's also reports that he's a big fan of Dirk. And obviously, you know, he's going to be mentored by Dirk. He's going to build a relationship with him. And you guys mentioned ownership over there in the front office. I think they'll be able to kind of convince him to sign the deal. And like Jack mentioned, maybe it's not the full out max. Maybe it's just a 2 or 3 year deal. But I think he's going to end up staying in Dallas, most likely scenario.
Yeah,
oh, for sure.
I agree.
Now, talking about some of the other guys part of this trade, you know, we mentioned Tim Hardaway, Courtney Lee, Trey Burke. Looking at the Knicks side, you know, obviously they got Dennis Smith Jr., who they're probably going to look to keep. But DeAndre Jordan and Wesley Matthews most likely either moved or bought out. Agreed?
Yeah.
Agreed.
Now, like, how big a boost can these guys bring to another team? Like, DeAndre is a starting center. I know he's not having an amazing year. Wesley's a little bit more, you know, towards the end of his career. But how much of an impact could these guys bring to a playoff team?
I think that'd be huge. You know, if you're talking about plenty of playoff teams that can just add him in, you know, Oklahoma City, I'm not sure, obviously, the cap situation with all these teams, with the Houston Rockets. DeAndre Jordan, like you mentioned, Nick, more than a starting center. You know, he's proven in the past that he's a near all-star and he rebounds like a madman. His defense has obviously waned a little bit. I really like Wes Matthews. I think that he's like a similar sort of Ken Bazemore type who's also on the market. So in terms of the buyout market, if these guys are bought out as expected or flip for, you know, second round picks, which I think is what the Knicks should do, then I think they're going to add a lot of value and it could change the landscape a little bit. You know, obviously the buyout market last season, you know, Joe Johnson, these sort of guys, doesn't really move the needle that much. But if you add in a Wes Matthews and a DeAndre Jordan, that gives you some pretty significant value.
Yeah, what about you, Brandon? What do you think about Wes Matthews and DeAndre Jordan getting on the buyout market?
I've been a huge fan of Wes Matthews for a good amount of time. Now, I'm not a big fan of his contract, but, I mean, in terms of what he can bring to a playoff contender, and that's going to be something to look forward to. And similar to DeAndre Jordan, you can't find a rim runner like DeAndre Jordan right now. I mean, just out there on the market, if he gets bought out, I mean, I'm not sure what his contract will be afterwards, but, I mean, he will definitely go to a playoff contender and be a viable source of offense coming down the stretch on games and stuff like that.
Yeah, instantly, I like Wes Matthews of Philadelphia. I just love if he's bought out, that just makes sense. Obviously, last year was capitalizing the buyout market with Marco Bellinelli, Ersan Ilyasova. DeAndre, for some reason, I don't know why I'm thinking this is just locked in my brain right now, he's going to Houston. Like, he's wanted to go to Houston, and they're going to get him at a really cheap deal. Obviously, Capella's going to come back, but he's still going to give them a crazy backup to have and catch oops from Chris Paul once again. That would be my first two bets on those guys. Because I don't think the Knicks are going to be able to – sorry to cut you off, Jack. I don't think the Knicks are going to be able to trade him because of their contract size, and the Knicks aren't going to want to take any money back that's going to longer into the offseason.
I think with the DeAndre thing, is his ego willing to accept the backup role to Clint Capella when he comes back? Because Clint Capella isn't out for a very long, very much longer. He's only got a couple more weeks on that thumb injury. So, you know, if he's willing to take a back seat, and we all know about Kenneth Faried in terms of him taking a back seat role. So obviously he's been doing some nice things there in Houston. So obviously that's not really that much and integral to the conversation. But no, I think that both guys, I think, you know, Wes Matthews to OKC and just a 3-and-D guy, you know, in terms of just adding something. I think Wes Matthews is the perfect sort of prototype for a lot of these teams, like you mentioned.
What's another team you could see DeAndre Jordan? Maybe a team like Washington, if they're trying to get back off in the playoff hunt, he could probably start there.
That's a dark horse, just because they don't have Dwight Howard right now, and they need another big. And they're trying to, like you said, get back in the playoffs. So you got a lot of teams on the bubble right now that are looking for that extra big man or extra wing guy. And he also makes sense in Philly, like you were talking about it, coming off the bench behind Redick and Butler.
Also, another name to consider, obviously, for both guys is probably the Lakers, especially if for some reason they're able to make this super splash move and they're able to move, you know, maybe they move their young guys for another piece. Maybe that's Anthony Davis or whatnot. But bringing a guy like DeAndre, you know, Tyson Chandler's been pretty good. JaVale McGee's been pretty good. But I think DeAndre is an upgrade over both guys.
Yeah, DeAndre would be awesome, especially with LeBron coming back and fitting in with the Utes. Even Wesley Matthews, I think, would be probably one of their best three-point shooters, which is saying something. So I think that if you are the Knicks right now, you need to look at these two and go, these guys have got some value. Like, let's put them on the market and see what we can get for them. Let's not buy them out immediately. I think it'd be silly of them to do that. You know, trade them for a second rounder and get something back, because you need to, you know, acquire those assets despite the fact that, you know, you're going all in the free agency period. It can't hurt to have those picks in reserve.
Well, and one thing with the Lakers is they could probably move like a KCP or like one of their, you know, bigger expiring contracts to try to make something work. So that's a, you know, an option. Maybe just get a second rounder for the Knicks. Now, how do you think this impacts free agency? You know, you guys didn't seem very confident about the Knicks grabbing somebody in free agency. Does this help the other teams with cap space?
Yes, but at the same time, you know, I think it's going to come down to, obviously, are these guys, a Kyrie, a KD, a Clay, are they wanting to team up or are they going to want to do their own thing? You know, no one really knows. I think the recent news about Kyrie Irving from the Boston Globe is that it seems very unlikely, and Jackie McMullen sort of confirmed that as well. KD, who knows? I think that if you've got the, you know, two decisions, two scenarios in your hand, you know, stay with the Golden State Warriors for another season and win, you know, another ring, or go to New York and play with Kevin Knox and pieces, what are you going to do? I mean, the last time the Knicks had, you know, this cap space and free agency, they could have got LeBron, Wade, and Bosch, and they end up with Amari Stoudemire. So, Knicks are going to Knicks. I mean, unless they prove me otherwise, I'm going to be very skeptical.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I think, like, I mean, personally, as a perspective an all-star player, unless you're guaranteed and you really want to team up with one of your friends, that's the only reason I think you're really signing with the Knicks, because like you guys mentioned, it's more of a longer process for the Knicks. I think they'd be better off almost sitting on their cap space, maybe take some guys on short-term deals, or maybe even taking a salary dump and look moving forward.
There's no way.
I think the whole situation just screams from the top to the bottom with the Knicks. Like, you've got to get a new ownership set up, you got to get a new management set up before anybody can even consider teaming up in that city with that franchise, because it's like the trickle down effect. You can always team up in like New York, but like it's not going to be as fun as like for this franchise or for this franchise that has something going on. It's been bad news for the Knicks for years.
Jack, now I have to ask you this. Do you think this benefits the Nets that, you know, the Knicks kind of lost KP and it kind of makes the Nets a little bit more interesting for a free agent perspective?
Oh, greatly. And I think it even benefits us in terms of acquiring Kristaps Porzingis possibly in free agency if he takes that qualifying offer as well. I think that it just bodes well another notch for the Brooklyn Nets in terms of what they're building with Sean Marks and Kay Atkinson in terms of luring free agents. I think that the Nets are more likely to lure, you know, one of those free agents, be it, you know, even a Tobias Harris or Kemba Walker or whoever it might be. Probably less likely with Kemba with D'Angelo Russell, but Tobias Harris. And I think the Nets strike out. Say that a couple of times. But obviously, the recent news of the reserves as well. You know, D'Angelo Russell wasn't named. So that's interesting too, which we might have to chat about.
Yeah, well, we'll just jump right into that. You know, we obviously could talk more trade stuff afterwards. We also reserves just dropped. So we'll start with the East. Jack brought it up. Bradley Beal, Blake Griffin, Kyle Lowry, Chris Middleton, Victor Oladipo, Ben Simmons, Nikola Vucevic are the all-star reserves for the Eastern Conference. Obviously, Oladipo is not playing. Reports early on are that it's between D'Angelo Russell and Jimmy Butler. Thoughts about the East reserves?
I think that Eric Bledsoe probably has a decent case as well. I had him over Middleton. I was chatting with you and Corey yesterday, Nick. So I think D'Lo was minor stuff, but I like the fact, I think that this feeds into the narrative for Brooklyn and feeds into the narrative for D'Angelo. Like, he's going to go out and probably tonight against San Antonio and Derek White and stuff and put out like 35-5. I just think that this sort of snubbed underdog sort of status for the Brooklyn Nets works really well for us, and it's going to bode very well as we build going forward. It's not going to change the world if D'Angelo Russell is named as an all-star. It would be worthwhile, and it would be, it's quite silly that he wasn't, because so many other pundits have named him. So it just shows what the coaches sort of think. And, you know, guys like Kyle Lowry and, you know, obviously I think he's probably the number one guy on this list, is just like, really? Is he really doing that well? But it's just, you know, you get the recognition being the sort of vet and kicking around. So the media knows a little bit better than the coaches for once.
What are your thoughts on it? Obviously, you know, Brendan, you're not a Nets fan. Did you think D'Angelo Russell was snubbed?
I think in terms of how he's performed this season consistently for each game, of course. I mean, you look at, like, Oladipo is going to have to be replaced, and I would definitely pick Russell over Butler for just the main purpose of, like, the kids balling out. You want to show them some appreciation. And, of course, Butler has the veteran experience, but they're a playoff team. I mean, like the Nets are a playoff team, just like Philly's a playoff team. And like Jack was saying, like Kyle Lowry, I mean, like, come on. I know he's a vet and everything, but, like, Russell's having a lot better of a season than Lowry is right now. So it just makes more sense.
Yeah.
But, hey, Russell might have that same career like Mike Conley has. So you never know. I mean, it feeds to the fire, you know. It's a blessing and a curse.
Like Jack said, I think it does kind of add to the chip on the shoulder. Like, I would be kind of aggravated. I think D'Angelo thought he was an all-star. And I think the biggest sell for him would be, like, you know, the Nets are a playoff team. We're the sixth seed, and I'm their best player. And I didn't make the all-star team, and I think I'm having a better season than, you know, you can make an argument for Lowry when he's healthy, but he's been out so many games. And I think there's a really good argument for him making the all-star team over Chris Middleton. Like, Middleton having a great year. So
I agree with that. And Adam Silver picks the injury replacements, doesn't he?
Correct, but he usually bases it off, I believe, like, the rest of the coaches' votes, whoever was next up.
Right. And that's why Goran Dragic got it over like Ben Simmons last season, which was a
correct
joke.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing D'Angelo is not going to be next on that list. It's definitely going to be Butler above D'Angelo Russell. I think that can be more than we can probably lock that in, if anything.
It's tough to say. You know, coaches might give him a dirty look because of the way he kind of acted with the whole Minnesota situation. You know, coaches are obviously going to kind of support each other in the way he kind of acted. I don't know if that sits well with them. And then also, he hasn't played necessarily a ton of games or had a ton of impact in the East. So I don't know. I wouldn't put as a lock that Butler will get in. I think even, you know, Vucevic is having an amazing season, but I think you kind of reward winning basketball. And the Magic are what, 10 games, 11 games under 500?
Very true.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And I mean, there's always going to be snubs, and it's awesome just for the conversation and for conversations like this and content. But there might be even, you know, other injuries going forward. We might see guys, you know, just wanting to sit it out. Remember Jimmy Butler last season? He was there, but he wasn't there. And guys like Lou Williams were just pretty peeved at the fact that he didn't even play any minutes. So yeah. I think D'Angelo Russell, if he's not there, it's going to be a travesty. But, you know, if Joe Harris isn't in the three-point contest either, it's going to be a travesty. I'll keep putting that out there.
One has to happen, you know? One has to break through.
And I think it's like, obviously, the Nets are just looking for more exposure, especially with the way they've played over the last 2 months. Looking over on the Western Conference reserves, you got Anthony Davis, LaMarcus Aldridge, Nikola Jokic, Damian Lillard, Klay Thompson, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Russell Westbrook. No Rudy Gobert.
These were literally my picks, apart from I think Gobert was in there over Aldridge. So, like, I think it's good, but I think, you know, Gobert over Aldridge is the probably, for me, or Gobert over Thompson. I think a lot of people haven't rated his form as highly as I have. But it is a bit of a snub for Gobert, but I think, you know, coaches might not have the longest of memories because that early season form for Gobert wasn't great, but he's been very, very good and of late. So the fact that he's not in there is probably a bigger stunt than D'Angelo Russell for me.
What about you, Brennan? What did you think Western Conference-wise? Who is a snub in your eyes?
I'm pretty sure it's pretty much nailed down, but I agree with Jack on the LaMarcus Aldridge. Like, he hasn't really – I mean, he's been consistently good, but he hasn't gone over what he usually puts out there. So, I mean, you talked about Rudy Gobert. I mean, I think he's more than deserving. But at the same time, both are deserving. It's tough because they all looked pretty much locked in, you know. Before the show even took place, it looked pretty much locked in. The Eastern Conference was more of a snub than the Western Conference because we pretty much predicted who was going to be there.
Yeah, I think you could probably make an argument for Gobert over Clay. Like, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities just because he's probably been Utah's best player. And Clay's had, like, those crazy games that kind of inflated his stats. But his start to the season, just like Gobert's, wasn't amazing.
Oh, it's bad.
So you can make an argument either way. Obviously, we knew guys were going to get snubbed in the West. It's just impossible for everyone to make it. You know, I'm sure some people wanted Luka in there. And now next year, it's even going to get tougher. If Porzingis is healthy, it's just even going to be crazier to try to do the All-Stars out there.
Apparently, Gobert missed out on a $1 million bonus, according to ESPN, by not being slipped in the All-Star game. So,
oh, that sucks.
That's a lot of money.
That's a big chunk of change. I wonder if he still gets the bonus if someone's injured and he's the next guy in.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to read the details of that. I mean, he deserves to be in, you know, and when that money is on the line,
so many guys that are deserving that you just kind of get lost in the shuffle of all this talent in the Western Conference.
Yeah, it's definitely crazy. Guys, any final thoughts on the All-Star picks or anything like that?
We've got to get D'Lo in there.
Yeah, I mean, the ride has already begun with Flatbush and Atlantic. He's got the riots to be ready. Nets Republic is going to be starting plenty of riots, and New York might be cold right now, but they better not be wary of us Nets fans.
I can confirm it is very cold in the Northeast right now, very cold. But Brendan, you got any info for us in terms of Memphis on the Gasol and Conley front? Anything you've been hearing?
Utah's been a big name for Mike Conley, and Garrett Temple is a guy that hasn't been talked about. He's been rumored in L.A. Lakers trades. They've inquired about Garrett Temple.
That's a good fit.
And Marc Gasol has a trade kicker, so his best option would probably be somewhere either like San Antonio. He's got a 15% trade kicker, I'm pretty sure. And I've heard San Antonio in rumors.
Who do you think's more likely to get traded out of Conley and Gasol?
I think both go. I think it's like one of those, you know, they both signed up for it and you know, they decided to do this together. So you can't trade one without trading the other. It's just one of those things. It's not going to be pretty if one leaves and one stays.
How confident are you that both will be moved before the deadline?
It depends. See, this is where my problem with management comes in. Like, we both know that Mike and Mark are aging. And you're not going to necessarily get a first-round pick or a protected first-round pick. So you got to be ready for the ugly contract, you know, the stuff that's thrown at you, like, you know, ugly contracts you got to take on or expiring contracts you got to take on, and maybe even a second round pick, you know, like it just comes down to what management thinks Mike and Mark are worth versus what their fandom thinks Mike and Mark are worth, if that makes sense. So it all comes down to that.
I think you could probably get a late first for Mike. In terms of Mark, I don't think you're probably getting a pick or maybe a second-round pick. I think especially at his price tag and his age. But I think Conley might be able to get you some positive value. What do you think, Jack?
I like that fit of Conley and Mitchell as a backcourt. That would be
beautiful.
Very nice. Probably like two of like the most underrated guys in the Western Conference right now. And I think that they balance each other out really nicely. I think, you know, Mitchell you know, has some real burst about him, and Conley is a really nice steadying presence. And I think his three-point shooting, and I think just, you know, take the ball out of Mitchell's hands a little bit, and I think gives you some, you know, postseason experience at the same time. If Utah can get that done, you know, I would certainly do it.
Well, Mark was set to go to Dallas, but that's kind of shutting down now.
In a way, they still kind of need a center now.
Yeah, but I don't think they're willing to take on that massive contract. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Yeah, it depends on what their timeline is. Obviously, their cap is a little bit taken, but they're still going to have space to probably sign someone. Obviously, Cousins has been a name tied to Dallas for a long time. Mm-hmm. They're able to get Cousins this offseason, then they had Luka. One crazy thing that actually could end up working for Dallas in this scenario, if KP signed the qualifying offer, is if he signed the qualifying offer, then he decides, you know what, I actually want to stay in Dallas. They have his bird's rights. They can max him out. Then they sign a big free agent the offseason beforehand. So now all of a sudden they're just locked in with three great players for the next 5 years.
Very true.
So obviously that's like best case scenario, and I'm just getting hypothetical here. But any other thoughts on the AD stuff happening? You think we see an AD trade? Does this change anything in the Anthony Davis front or not really?
I think in terms of, you know, I was listening to Sam Vecenie's podcast, and he was saying as soon as that sort of rumblings came out about Kristaps Porzingis, you know, it made sense to go, okay, well, New York, let's call up, you know, New Orleans, you know, KP for AD and whatever, we'll figure out the rest. I think now that that's done, it seems less likely. I mean, maybe the addition of the 2021 and 2023 picks gives them some assets to send back to New Orleans if they wanted to do that. Obviously, 2021 is unprotected. 2023, by that stage, you know, the draft pool will probably be deeper with the high schools being available. Obviously, if that still hasn't been announced yet, but it's set to be around that sort of stage. I think it gives New York a chance to be in the AD sweepstakes still. But for me, like we've sort of talked about at length, and I think the most, you know, well-read and well-studied pundits will say, it makes the most sense to keep him until the off-season in July, because, you know, you want to know who has those picks. You want to know what you're getting into. You want to know what Boston can give you and all those sort of different offers. But at the same time, you know, Anthony Davis and his team seem pretty aggressive on making it happen.
Yeah, and I think for the Knicks front, their best chance of making a trade is in the offseason. I think they'd have to get the number one pick to kind of make that trade happen, then maybe throw future picks. And maybe in this scenario, they don't have to give up Kevin Knox. And now all of a sudden they have AD, Kevin Knox, you know, a couple other young pieces on the roster, and they have at least one max spot in the offseason to sign a big name. So that's best case scenario, I think, for the Knicks. I think it's more likely for that to happen than for them to sign two straight up, you know, superstars with the two max spots.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts, guys, before we get out of here?
No, it's a wild day in the NBA, and we thought that this trade deadline was going to be a little bit of a downer, but man, all it takes is one move.
Yeah. So I was on the record of saying two All-Stars to be traded before the trade deadline. So far, I got one down, hoping for another
one. Chris isn't an All-Star, is he?
I would consider him an All-Star. You don't think
he doesn't count, bro. Doesn't count. He hasn't been named an All-Star yet.
I'm pretty sure he made it. Didn't he make an All-Star team? He was named an All-Star last year.
Yeah, yeah, I think he was. Yeah,
he was named an All-Star last year and didn't play.
Yeah.
My bad.
Technically, he was selected. So.
Yeah. But all right, guys, that wraps it up. As always, big appreciation to everybody listening. Check out the pod on iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. If you want to hear some Nets talk, Jack and I will be going live in about 10 minutes to talk Nets, Spurs, and a little more D'Angelo talk.